Go to Hebrews 9, please, this evening.
Hebrews 9, chapter 12.
Remember, the book of Hebrews is about Jesus and His high priestly ministry. And tonight the focus is on the blood that He shed at Calvary. Praise God. Beginning in verse 12 of Hebrews 9, "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause He is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of a testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission." By His own blood. Let's pray. Lord, use Your word tonight to teach and grow us. We thank You for it. We just want Jesus to be glorified in this time. And we pray in His name, amen. So you probably noticed the occurrence of the word blood in this passage many times. That's not surprising, considering that without the blood of Jesus Christ, we'd have no hope. And so I want to focus tonight on the power of that blood from this passage and other passages in the Bible, and show all the amazing things that are accomplished in our lives through the blood of Jesus Christ, our wonderful Savior. And so we start there in verse 12. The Bible says, "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered into once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." So the first thing that we see that is accomplished through the blood of Jesus Christ is redemption. Redemption. If you go to 1 Peter chapter 1. Now, redemption, the word redemption means to purchase or buy back. And the Lord Jesus Christ purchased us with His blood. He bought us back from sin and from the devil. And notice 1 Peter 1:18. The Bible says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." So we are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, bought back. Praise God. While we're talking about that theme, secondly, if you go to Acts 20 and verse 28, we are also specifically purchased. I know they're very similar, redemption and being purchased, but they're not exactly the same. He bought us back from sin through redemption, but He literally bought us or purchased us with His blood. Notice Acts 20:28, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood." Remember, we're told in 1 Corinthians 6, "For ye are bought with a price." This is the price. The perfect blood of the perfect Son of God. So we were redeemed by His blood. We are purchased by His blood. Thirdly, Ephesians 1:7. Let's go there. Ephesians 1:7 says that we are forgiven by His blood. And if you're taking notes, I think there's 13 different things tonight that the blood accomplishes in our lives. Ephesians 1:7 says, "In whom we have redemption," we've already talked about that one, through His blood the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. So we've been redeemed by His blood, we have been purchased by His blood, and we have been forgiven by His blood. Fourthly, go to Leviticus 17:11, and we'll see that we are atoned by His blood. The Bible says, Ephesians 17:11, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I've given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your soul. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." That word atonement means to cover. And so we have been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. I already lost count. That was number four. Number five, Romans 3:25. The Bible says we have been propitiated by His blood. So let's turn over there. That's a fancy word that basically means satisfied. That God, we actually haven't been propitiated. I shouldn't say it that way. God has been propitiated by the blood of Jesus Christ. Notice Romans 3:25, "whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood." So that word propitiation means to satisfy or to reconcile. And so God is the one that's propitiated or satisfied or reconciled, not us. But that again, as we see here, through faith in His blood. So it's the blood of Jesus Christ that has redeemed us, that has purchased us, that has, we've been forgiven through it, we've been atoned, and God has been propitiated. And then, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, number 6, Romans 5:9. "We have also been justified." This is just beautiful. All these things that God has done for us through the blood of Jesus Christ. Romans 5:9. The Bible says, "much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him." That word justified means that God not only forgives and covers the sins, but that God actually declares us just through Christ, and as it says there, by His blood. So when He applies our blood, His blood to our account, God makes us just. Which is quite fascinating and amazing. And we've not only been forgiven, which is kind of the negative side of sin, but we've been justified, made righteous through Jesus Christ. As it says here, by His blood. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 already. So let's go back to our passage now, and we'll look at number 7, Hebrews chapter 9. Notice it says in verse 14, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" And so what this is telling us is that His blood even purges our own conscience so that we can serve. If that didn't happen, then we would be so ineffective for the Lord. But God purges our conscience with the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, the blood is in the Bible over 400 times. It's pretty amazing. So, and again, remember, even in the Old Testament, it's not enough that the blood was shed. It had to be applied. So even when an animal was killed, yes, they killed the animal and blood came out, but then they had to do something with the blood. Remember, it's the same with Jesus Christ. His blood was shed for the whole world, but it has to be applied to us personally, applied to our account for it to be effective. That's salvation. When we trust Jesus Christ, God takes the blood and applies it to us. So number 7 is our conscience is purged through the blood of Jesus Christ. Number 8, let's go to Revelation chapter 1. Where it tells us we've been washed. I think my battery died, but that's all right. So Revelation 1:5, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Isn't that beautiful? He washed us in his own blood. And then number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Number 9 is 1 John 1, 7, where we are told that we are cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Notice 1 John 1, 7, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So we are washed, we are cleansed, and then Hebrews 13:12, if you turn over there, tells us that we have been sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 13:12. Wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate. Sanctification means to be set apart for a specific purpose. So what it's telling us is with the blood of Jesus Christ, He not only bought us, but then He set us aside, He sanctified us to serve Him. For we have a purpose, and we've been sanctified with His own blood. All right, and then go to Ephesians 2:13, where we're told that we are also made nigh by the blood. That means made nigh to God. Remember, we were separated by sin in the garden and have been until the blood. Ephesians 2:13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Made nigh. So we've been brought close to the Lord. Colossians 1:20. I think this is number 12. It says, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. So the blood of Jesus Christ has made peace with our Creator. And that is just wonderful. And it will finish in Hebrews 10, where we're going to be week after next, which says, because of all these things, because we've been washed and cleansed and sanctified and made nigh and had peace made with God, Hebrews 10:19 tells us, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. So we now can have the boldness to enter into the presence of Almighty God. But notice what it says, by the blood. So by His own blood, the Lord Jesus Christ redeemed us, purchased us, forgave us, atoned us, justified us, and God was propitiated. And by His own blood, our conscience has been purged, we've been washed and cleansed and sanctified, made nigh, peace has been made with God, and because of those things, we have boldness. Go back to our passage, verse 22. Every Christian should memorize this verse, at least the first part of it. Actually, the whole thing. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. That's an important truth. The majority of people in the world today that believe there's a Creator are trying to remit their sins through service or righteousness. Think about it. Most people believe they're going to get themselves to heaven by doing stuff, whatever that might be. Knocking on doors, getting baptized, being good, whatever. Nothing that we can do remits sin. We can do good works for eternity, but it has nothing to do with the sin. The sin has to be remitted. Remission has to take place. And it says, without shedding of blood is no remission. That the only thing that can remit sin is the shedding of blood. And God tried to tell Israel that. through all those, think of the literally millions of animals that were slaughtered for centuries by order of our Creator. Think about that. I mean, there was that one feast when Solomon dedicated the temple. I think there were thousands killed just on that one day. They had to bring in all these extra people to help deal with all this slaughtering. That's why did God have all that done? Just keep trying to tell man it takes blood. It takes the blood of something innocent. Jesus Christ was innocent. Without shedding of blood is no remission. So praise God for the blood of Jesus Christ. By His own blood, He obtained eternal redemption for us. Through the blood of Christ, the Bible says, He offered Himself without spot to God, the innocent Lamb of God. When John saw Jesus coming there in John 1, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." The Jews knew what he was saying, because they had been performing the Passover for centuries. Every year they would kill an innocent lamb. The lamb did nothing wrong, just so the blood could be shed. So by His own blood. Let's pray.